So praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, we are learning from God and learning from the early church, and learning things that what they did, the experiences they had through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, every time we read the book of Acts, it's really a foundation, it's really a guide by which we can gauge ourselves as a church, we can gauge ourselves as believers. Are we walking in the same doctrine? Are we walking in the same fellowship? Are we walking in the same life of prayer? Are we walking in the miracles? Are we walking in the breaking of bread? Are we walking in the giving? You know, in all these things that the early church lived in, that they shared, that there was no poor man among them. There was none that was lacking among them. They lived in love. They experienced grace. They taught one another. They shared everything that they had. And the Bible speaks that even of Barnabas, who is called the son, he was called Joseph, or also named Barnabas, the son of encouragement, or the son of consolation, who comes in and, you know, sells his land and brings it to the apostles, and the money was laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone that had need. So what we are saying is that there was a grace of giving that was in the church. There was love, there was unity of one heart and one mind, one soul, and this was the unity so much that no one was selfish. There was no one that felt that whatever they had was their own, but they were just stewards of God's resources that have been given to each of them. And of course, as we say, these are really marks of a revived church, one of the greatest marks apart from holiness, prayer, the word of God, miracles, signs and wonders, transformed lives, is the generosity, the love, the generosity that is outpoured in the hearts of men. And when this generosity happens, what we see, unfortunately, and as we will see today in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, is that there was a spirit that came in, the spirit that wanted just for the personal recognition. They wanted to be selfish, they wanted to lie, and basically the word to me that we see today is disobedience. And really it goes, and we'll try and link it up with the story of Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where God, I mean, through the prophet Samuel asked him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And it says that for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And we'll try and see what was really the challenge with Ananias and Sapphira, and we'll understand that God was not really after their sacrifice, because, you know, I think in their minds they were like, they wanted people to praise them, they wanted people to acknowledge how much offering they have given, how much giving they have given to the church, but yet they missed the point that God is really after obedience and not after sacrifice, because their focus was on what they were sacrificing, but they weren't doing it in truth. Now, we are in the book of Acts chapter 5, and the Bible says, verse 1, the Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, they sold a possession. That means it was theirs. It was theirs to keep or to sell. And the Bible says, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Remember, we spoke about how they would bring money, sell whatever they own, put it at the apostles' feet, and this is for the purpose of the gospel, to spread the gospel, because the apostles were being empowered to spread the gospels, and the money was redistributed. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much?" She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now, if we just imagine this situation where they have decided to sell their land, it remains theirs. They had a choice whether to bring it to the house of God or not. I mean, I don't think there was nothing wrong with them, you know, keeping part of the money. If they decided, let's say, to give half of the money they had sold, I don't think it would have been wrong, because at the end of the day, the money was theirs. But their challenge was they decided to keep part of the money, and they wanted the glory of men. They wanted men to also clap for them that they have also sold their land and brought the money to the church. Instead of saying, "Yes, we sold the land, and we have decided all that land that we have sold, we have brought maybe part of it, and we have kept some for ourselves." They could have said, of course, for some family expenses, or maybe to meet the lawyer and all those things. I mean, there are always some needs here and there, and God would understand. But you see, their issue was the glory of men. They wanted men to clap for them because they were seeing Barnabas selling his land and bringing it to the apostles' feet. And they felt that if they did the same, also men will, you know, clap for them, and who knows, they're going to be given recognition as leaders of the church or as elders. They might be recognized as some of the important people, and this is really quite common in the churches of today. You find that recognition is only given to those who give more, to those who give more than others. Yet when Jesus was speaking about giving, he did not quantify based on what you gave, but really it was about out of what you gave that it was the quantified. So it was really about the proportion of what is right for you to give at whichever stage. I mean, if God has blessed you, then if your giving stays the same as you were giving in the times when you were not blessed, then there is a problem. Why? Because God will see that is not an acceptable sacrifice. Because at that point, it was not commensurate. I mean, God expects that as you grow in grace, then it also you also grow in your grace of giving. I mean, you can think of a situation where maybe the currency has devalued. And let's say you used to give maybe 1,000 pounds at that time. And yet that 1,000 pounds is basically, if it is equivalent, it is now equivalent to 50 pounds of the same value. And yet in your giving, you're still giving that 1,000 pounds the same way that you've always given. Yet even the current situation has changed. If you go to the market, you cannot buy the same thing that you are buying at 1,000. You cannot buy it as it was before. You go to a restaurant and you are going to buy food, you might spend most at minimum maybe 50,000, but yet in the house of God you will only give that small amount. Now when God says bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food, now if whatever you're bringing to God cannot even buy you food outside, then How will it even bring food to the house of God? And you see, this is always a challenge that God gives us, that when we are faithful, when we are faithful in our giving, then God is also faithful in how he administers the grace. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Our blessings, our possessions, the things that we have are a reflection also of our faithfulness in our giving. Yes, God blesses people. Yes, God blesses the work of our hands. But anyone that has walked with God consistently will come to the understanding that your giving opens the doors for God to bless you. It is not from a contractual basis, but it is something that is a principle that God has established in his word, that they that give to him faithfully, God also finds a way to give them back, and also they are faithful. Jesus said, "Give and it shall come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Inasmuch as that verse does not specifically speak about giving, you know, it's really about judgment with the same measure that you judge others, that it shall be judged to you. But if the principle stays the same, whatever we give comes back to us and in an increasing measure. Now, if you realize when you walk in your faithfulness to your giving, in your faithfulness to your tithe, then God also is faithful, and God finds a way to make provision for you to meet your needs, and you will find that there is unexplained favor in every direction. Now, when we come to this issue of giving, yes, their giving was a sacrifice. They sacrificed this. But you see, sacrifice is not the highest level that God demands. And that's why I say that obedience is better than sacrifice. Ananias and Sapphira brought a sacrifice to God, which was right. But you see, in their sacrifice, they were not obedient to what God had wanted them to give. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to Peter. They lied to the church. And remember, Peter is at the place where he has the full authority of the church. Remember, we talked about the ecclesia, where there is the gathering of the believers, the gathering of the saints, where they are called out. That means they are different from the world. They are different. And God says, "Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." And yet, they felt that the praise of men was more important than their obedience to say the truth before God. And that's why Peter asked them, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" Now, Ananias and Sapphira were members of the church. And remember, in this time, for you to be a member, you actually were born again. That means they believed in the Lord Jesus. They were baptized, because for them, for you, as you can see, the pattern was they believed in Jesus and they were baptized. So that means they publicly declared that they were born again, and that they were believers. But you see, in this journey of transformation, there are many who might be among us claiming to be believers, but they are not fully transformed. Think of Simon the sorcerer. Yes, the Bible says he believed and he was baptized and he was counted among the number, but his heart was still filled by the devil and his heart was still evil, and he asked to buy the gift. Likewise here, Ananias and Sapphira, yes, they are part of the church, and indeed someone described the church as a hospital, where there are those who are still recovering from treatment. Not everyone is recovering from treatment, yet they are in the church or they are in the hospital. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they allowed Satan to fill their heart, and because of that, they were judged. Now, yes, this is a time of grace, and we always love saying, "Oh yeah, we are in the season of grace." But you see, God does not overlook his principles even in the times of grace. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace does not mean that you can do whatever you want. Oh, God no longer is counting our sins against us. Oh, we can do as we want. No, grace requires also, the Bible says, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. The grace of God is an enabler to live a holy life. It's an enabler. It is not a license, an excuse for sin, but it is an enabler that will help you, that will give you the power to overcome sin, because it is the Holy Spirit within you that convicts you of sin, that warns you against sin, that directs you. And that is why we say that the believer is not a slave to sin. That's why you are not a slave to your sinful nature. Your sinful nature was circumcised. It was cut off. That means it has no power over you. It is only you that will let it. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Now, quickly, we'll link it up with 1 Samuel chapter 15, and where we see the story of Saul. And the Bible starts with Saul being told to go and destroy the Amalekites. Remember, the Amalekites had done great harm to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. And the Bible even describes to Agag that you have made women childless. You know, you have killed children, you have killed women, you have killed, you know, parents and all that. And that is why they were to be punished. And God's command to Saul was very serious. He was told, go and kill everything. Go and kill the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, everything. The children, the women, the donkeys, cattle, ox, sheep, everything was to be killed. Utterly destroyed. This was a command. It was a judgment that God was exercising over the Amalekites, that God wanted them to be destroyed. Now, Saul was given that job. Now, the Bible tells us that Saul went. He went and he did that, but the people, his soldiers, were not willing, even himself, they were not willing to utterly destroy. So they kept Agag, they spared Agag, they kept some of the best sheep, they kept the best oxen, they kept the best fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and they were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything that was despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. And that you can read in verse 9. Now, when that happened, the Bible says, verse 10, 1 Samuel 15, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, for he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Look at how Saul was proud. It's just like the way Ananias and Sapphira were happy. Oh, we have brought the money that we sold, you know, we sold the land with. And Saul tells Samuel, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this? The bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, oh, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has also rejected you from being king." And maybe you can read that towards the end. You will see that God was very concerned not about the sacrifice. And that's why he says obedience is better than sacrifice. We may focus so much on giving, and that is what Ananias and Sapphira were happy to bring. But you see, they were not obedient to the truth. They were not obedient to speak the truth. They thought they could lie to the Holy Spirit. But you see, God does not eat the fat of rams, or he does not drink the blood of bulls and cattle. The cattle on a thousand hills are his. If you are hungry, he will not tell us. What God is saying to us is this: we are called to give. We are called to sacrifice. We are called to meet the needs of others. We are called to meet the church, you know, to provide for the church, to provide for those that are suffering among us. But you see, God, there are higher principles. The higher principle is obedience. And can we be faithful? Can we live lives that are obedient to God? Can we live lives that bring truth, that speak of the truth? That is most important to God above the grace of giving, above the generosity that we have. But we should not lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira paid the ultimate price of disobedience with death. And likewise also, Saul lost the kingdom. And you see, when Samuel was leaving, he tried to hold Samuel's garment, and the garment tore, and God told him, and Samuel tells him that the same way that the garment has torn, also I have torn away the kingdom from you, and I have given them to your neighbor. Disobedience is like witchcraft. And remember, the Bible had said, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." That means when we disobey God, then we put ourselves under judgment, and God will judge us. His mercy is always available. His grace is always available, that we walk in holiness, that we walk in guidance. But the warnings are there for us in Scripture, that we know that our God is a consuming fire. He's still the same that he was yesterday, today, and forever. The God of the Old Testament is still the God in the New Testament. I know there are people who say, "Oh, I don't like the God of the Old Testament," but he's still the same God. But he has given us his mercy through his Son. He has given us the grace of forgiveness. He has given us the enabling grace that we may live holy lives. And our job is to be faithful and to be honest. May we, our hearts not be filled by Satan to do evil. May we stay faithful, and even in everything, whatever it is that you've decided to give, give, but don't create a lie to say, "Oh, that this is this and this is not it." That is not profitable, and that is not helpful to God. So I'll stop here, and I pray that God will give us insight into his word beyond this. My brother, you're welcome, as God leads you.
Thank you, Dr. Mom. It's well covered. No addition.
Sorry. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your challenge to us. You've admonished us that indeed we need to obey, and beyond even our levels of sacrifice. And I pray for forgiveness for them that have failed in areas of obedience. That, Lord, indeed may they experience your mercy this morning. May they experience your grace, and may they quickly obey to you. Indeed, because you desire that we are quick to obey,
quick to walk in truth, quick to walk in love, and that, Lord, we shall not be filled by the devil to do evil, and that, Lord, in truth we shall live lives that bring glory to you, O God. I pray for healing to us, healing to our bodies, healing for our pastors, healing for those that are sick, O God. May they receive the healing of the Lord, the comfort of the Lord, and the provision for every need, O God. Remember Pastor Honey, and remember Bishop Honey, and we also remember Bishop Raphael, that your hand shall be with them, O God. Your grace and power and presence go ahead of them, keep and sustain them. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. May the Lord be with us all.